Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome to Khadija's Cafe. I am your host, Khadija Stewart, and you are in for an awesome, awesome treat this evening. Welcome, family. Welcome. Ramadan Mubarak to all of the Muslims out there who are fasting, day 10 or 11, depending upon when you started. Oh, family, family, it's March 2024. I'm going to get into a lot of things tonight, but first and foremost, happiness is infectious. Who in the world have you infected today? Who have you done that to? Family, we have to remember going forward, we are in the third month of 2024, and if we are not taking a look at what we have accomplished and what we have achieved and what our goals are for the rest of the year, now is time. It's Ramadan. For all of those out there that are Muslim, once again, I give the greetings of Ramadan Mubarak to all of my family that's listening. To all of my family that's not Muslim but listening in, let me give you a little bit about Ramadan. I want to just touch on that. So Ramadan is the month, the holy month of Ramadan in which the Holy Quran was revealed. So it's a month where we fast from sun up to sundown. We don't eat or drink or engage in any sexual activities. And we don't wrangle, right? We don't fight or argue or fuss. We try to stay as calm and peaceful as possible. Family, this month is my month of clarity and focus, right? It affords me the honor of actually experiencing things. Ramadan is that month of education, cleansing, and developing. It allows you to be vulnerable. You know, we as individuals in this age of artificial intelligence and internet and just not being able to do things so quickly, right, and trying to be so impressive with everyone that we communicate with, that being vulnerable is something that we don't do. And remember, family, we did a whole show on vulnerability. And I want you all to understand, is I have friends who aren't Muslim who engage in Ramadan and they fast with us. And the one thing that I try to tell them to do is don't just concentrate on not eating, right? We want to concentrate on what our stomach not being fed allows our mind to do. And that's interesting because, you know, for those who cannot afford food and are starving, it hurts their mind, right? Because they don't have a chance to break fast and eat. But those of us who are able to break fast once the sun goes down and eat, we're able to feed our body and our mind. But something happens when you're doing a fast like the month of Ramadan is that there's this level of clarity, there's this level of focus, if in fact you're doing your fast correctly. You know, and I tell people that all the time, that if you're just starving yourself, but you're not focusing on the spiritual energy, all of that spirituality is going on in the air at the time, you're really missing out. We're stepping out of a daily comfort of food and into a comfort of peace and focus. I always use this month to work out all of my weaknesses and build up my strength, right, through not indulging in those things that bring me comfort through food and water. I take away coffee, which I love, and it's not required, but I do it because what happens is my body is so focused. I'm so cleansed because I'm usually eating a lot healthier because my body won't take any junk food at this time. The caffeine is just not a good thing. It doesn't work. So I usually leave it off. But what happens is my entire body gets a rejuvenation. You know, when our kids were swimming competitively, we used to always talk about how we felt like when they would swim, the water would hydrate their skin from the outside sometimes. Because literally you would not be as tired. And I never understand it, but I really think that the Creator allows our bodies to take in what we need to take in order to get through this month of cleansing and focusing. I work a lot of long hours normally when I'm not fasting, but during Ramadan I can't do that, right? But the quality of my work that I produce, it's like no other. I never, ever, and I'll say that honestly, I've never been able to understand what happens in that I produce work during Ramadan that I can't produce any other time of the year, but I can't work as long. So that's the Ramadan introduction to all of those who don't know anything about Ramadan. I hope that gave you some clarity, right, because we are doing that. So family, at around 7:20, you may hear me gulp a little bit. 7:21, 7:22 here in the Maryland area, we break fast. So that's the time that we have to eat. And it is just as important for us to eat at the proper time as it is for us to stop eating in the morning at the proper time, right? So the goal is not to hurt our bodies. but to have some discipline and some focus. So I welcome Ramadan. I do. We're almost halfway through it. And it's that time where you really get dug in. But tonight, family, I'm going to talk, and it's going to get emotional for me. My view, your view, the autistic view. Family, I have had the honor of working with a young man for the past 2 years that has autism. And it's interesting for me because I have my oldest son is Down, right? And I've worked with children with ADHD, Down syndrome, but I had only a few experiences with individuals with autism. And once I started working with this young man, it amazed me how my world to autism opened up. And I'm not telling a fib, but it's just interesting because I had a neighbor who was autistic. And it wasn't until I started working with him that I started noticing her. And she actually pulled me aside and started talking to me about autism and some of the experiences that she has. So tonight, family, I want you to sit back and listen. But I want you to listen with your ears and your mind and your heart. Because what I want you to learn tonight, family, is that autism, in my opinion, it's not a special need. It's not a struggle. It's a view. It's a way that you view the world. I want, family, if you could close your eyes for a minute and think about if someone started clapping while you were in a room and that caused your nerves just to jump, or if you walked into a room and there was air freshener, you know, those nice aromatherapy smells that we all enjoy, what if that triggered you into actually having some problems, right? What if you weren't able to actually concentrate, focus? What if you became anxiety-ridden because you were hearing all of this and you were smelling these things? You know, and this is a view of autism that very, very few people know. Very few people know that. And I'm hoping tonight that the family will come on and actually talk about that with me, right? So tonight I have this young man's parents joining me, and we're going to talk about actually what is autism, right? What does it look like for someone that's not autistic but that has to be a caregiver of an autistic person? So let me give you a few details about autism. So one thing that people don't realize, I think everyone understands the sensory overload that people with autism experience, right? If you're in a room and it's a lot of happy, happy energy, that may be triggering for someone with autism, right? So they may seem to be mean or irritable, but it's not that. They're really being triggered by the energy in the room. A change in routine. You know, it's so funny because this young man, I make errors, as we all do as a teacher sometimes. But the one thing that I can always count on is if my error has disrupted the routine, he will definitely let me know. And he will let me know by the frustration in his voice. It almost brings him to tears when the routine has changed. And this was something that was not difficult for me to adjust to, but it made me improve my skills as a teacher, my skills as a communicator, and my skills as an individual, right? Because now when I teach and I communicate, I can't just do it from my comfort zone. I have to communicate from a level that is going to be inclusive of someone with autism. So, you know, family, it's one of those things where we live our lives daily. We go through life and we forget that there's a world outside there that does not necessarily function the same way each one of us functions. And I'm hoping that while you're listening to my show sometimes, you get that view. I hope I'm opening up a door for you to see things in a way that you didn't necessarily see them by giving the view of the non-traditional learner. And an autistic learner would be considered a non-traditional learner. Social situations are very difficult for folks with autism. Interacting can be challenging for them. You know, when this young man first came on, he didn't really talk to the other children on the line with us, right? We do virtual. We have both virtual and in person. So he was with us virtually, and it took a while. But he eventually, you know, he developed friends. He developed a community. And then when he is now asking us to have more social interaction, right, because he's come into a world that is accepting of him and includes him. He doesn't feel different in the world that we offer for him. Transitions, oh my gosh, family. When I'm teaching, trying to make these transitions with him is not always easy. And I have to keep in mind that it's not just him that I'm teaching, right? There's other people that I'm teaching. The transitions can be a very, very, very tough struggle for someone with autism. So family, if you're listening in, I want you to give a call. I'm going to recite the number off for you, right? Because the number is 917-889-7806. Call in and listen, right? Just listen in. 917-889-7806. So as I wait for the family to call in so we can interview them, I want you to understand I'm trying to go through some of these things beforehand so that when we have this conversation with them and I ask them some of these questions that I'm going to ask them, you already have some background information of autism. If you have never experienced autism, your life is, I will honestly say your life is missing something. Experiencing a person with autism gives you an entirely different view, but a better view of the world. You no longer just see things as the easy way of 9 to 5 or coming and going. You have to stop and think about those sensory things. Communicating is not easy for someone with autism. They really, really, really have to spend time thinking about how to utilize their words in their mind to let you understand what they're trying to say, right? That's from a lot of us, we have a hard time communicating. But this can cause a stress and anxiety. It can be overwhelming. Sensitivity to change. That's another thing that I had to learn, right? I had to learn that this baby that I teach, all of my babies, I had to learn that, you know, he's sensitive to change. Right? He's sensitive to different emotions. If I'm sad, he feels it and he knows it. And he tells me this, right? He's always telling me this. So it's one of those situations where I had to learn, right? I had to learn early on exactly what it was that made him emotional, what it was that made him go into a world of sensitivity. So these are the things that if you're a friend of someone with autism, if you're a family member with someone with autism, you know, you really have to begin to accept that you have to function differently. You can't function the same way that you're used to functioning. You just can't. You have to understand that these people, they need a little bit more of you. You know, they really do. They have to have a part of you that you're not used to giving because you're not used to thinking about sensitive things, right? You're not used to thinking about sensory awareness things. So these are the kind of things that I had to learn to experience. Now, it was a little bit easier for me, I believe, because I have 8 children, right? So I have 8 different personalities that I've learned how to juggle and manage and maneuver, but it still was not the same, and I still have him check me from time to time. You know, I joked with his grandmother a couple of weeks ago where I was writing a curriculum and I did a little cheating, right? I used chat a little bit. And it didn't follow the curriculum that I had done prior. So he checked me on it. And he said to me, he said, this is not what we read. Why is it like this? And the way he expressed it, had I not understood what autism was, had I not understood his sensory issues, had I not understand his inability to communicate effectively sometimes, and I say sometimes because he's done a really good job of communicating, I wouldn't have understood exactly that he wasn't being rude. He was really stressed. He was stressing out over the fact that the pattern didn't follow the route that it was supposed to follow, right? We didn't follow a pattern. I jumped off of a pattern, and he had to learn how to get back on that pattern. So as we are moving in, I think my callers are on the line. I think his parents are here, and they're ready to talk. So, yes, we can talk to them. Hello. Good evening. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello. Is this Mr. Anthony Haskin and Miss Beatrice Haskin? Good evening, family. How are you?
We're great. How are you?
Good, good. I know it was a little rough getting in, but you're here now, right?
Yes,
we are.
If you could please introduce to my listeners who you guys are. And I didn't use his name, so it's completely up to you guys if you want to. But from a perspective of, as parents, who are you to my baby that I was speaking about?
Hi, my name is Anthony. I'm Hunter's father.
Okay. And I'm Beatrice. I'm Hunter's mom.
Thank you for joining me, guys. I'm so appreciative that you're allowing me to do this because you're allowing us, you're opening up your world to me tonight, and I appreciate it. So they mentioned Hunter. Hunter is my autistic baby, and yes, Beatrice and Anthony, I'm sorry, but you have to share him with me. You must. you know, I've embraced him as my baby. But I want to jump right in because you guys vetted me because, you know, we're homeschooling him virtually, right? You guys are homeschooling on your side, and I'm doing my piece on my side. But you vetted me for about 2 years, and I never asked you why. But can you talk to me a little about what that vetting process was to take him from a public school system into a homeschool program?
It was first city schools kept promising that they would provide the services that he needed. So Okay. We kept waiting for them to provide those services. And it was also, how does homeschooling work for him?
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of introverted. So to let someone into our world without kids, they have to be like family.
Right.
So
right.
We, to hand him over to someone knowing that he had issues was
mm-hmm.
very daunting for us. So, yes, those 2 years seemed like it was just 2 months, but it took a while to make that decision.
It did. And let's talk, if you can, if we can talk a little bit about, like you said, an introverted world for a child with autism, right? What does that look like for Hunter when he goes out versus being home? If you can just give me some kind of some dynamics of the differences. Are you guys still there?
No, we're still here. At the time, because he's a completely different child now. But Anthony has a cold, I'm sorry. At the time, it was hard for him to have conversations with people.
Okay.
If someone, an adult or another child, looked him directly in the eye, he took that as aggression. So, and he will become instantly violent.
Okay.
He's to have this move that the teachers deemed as his spider wrestling hold, where
wow.
he could in like 3 seconds he can have you on your back and choking you, just because he didn't like the way a certain person was breathing that day. So it was very intimidating to have or to introduce people into his world because we had to protect not only him but
mm-hmm.
you know other families.
Right.
And then the school system didn't help with that end because he was attacking children at school. And they weren't reporting it.
Oh, wow. Woo. Why do you think the children didn't report it?
We're not sure. We never got a call from a parent. I know my child, whenever they come home, they tell me if something odd happened that day. So we're not sure. We was always wondering why we never heard anything from another parent.
Right.
He was always concerned anytime he had a outburst that they would have to escort all the children out of the classroom so he could have his tantrum.
Right.
And at least once a week, the whole entire class was interrupted.
So it sounds like adjusted to him? Is that, did you guys feel like they were adjusting to him?
They were, the entire class had to adjust to Hunter because he would destroy the entire classroom. He was like a Tasmanian devil or like the Hulk is what we normally use as his analogy. You have to keep your Hulk under control because he would have black outrages. And everybody remembers your teacher's desk, how large your teacher's desk is or was. And he was able to not only lift that in first grade, he was able to lift it and throw it.
Whoa. You know, Beatrice, this is hard for me right now. I'm holding back tears because, you know, this is the baby that sees me at the pool and comes and stands next to me, and then I ask him, do you want a hug? And he says yes. So I don't even know that, right? It's somebody I never even got to know. You know, he never exhibited that with me. And I always wondered, did that have anything to do with the work that was going on in the background? Do you think it had to do with his comfort level? What do you think? Why do you think that? No, don't get me wrong. I've seen some anger in Hunter, right? I've seen some irritability, but never the extremes. We went hiking, right? We went on some rough hikes last summer. We were in the pool. He was scared to death of the water. Now he's almost doing laps. So what do you? Why do you think that I never saw that versus the other environments that he saw?
He always does well with a calming person. And especially someone that gives him that one-on-one and takes the time to understand him and comfort him when he needs it.
Okay.
When he was in school, his teacher, unfortunately, you know, she was pretty much his one-on-one. So when she had the time to, he was at her hip most of the day. Anytime we picked him up, he was right there, right next to her. So she was comforting. She helped Hunter a lot. So as long as he has that someone with him, that comforting energy with him, he's fine.
That explains why the summer was so awesome last summer. Okay. That explains it then. So now I want to talk to you guys a little bit about his non-traditional learning methods, right? How has that benefited him as an individual with autism?
Non-traditional learning gives us the autonomy to pick the content and how it's delivered. It gives Hunter the flexibility to learn and grow at his pace in a way that feels supported. He has access to the same subjects he does in school. He gets projects. He goes on trips. He has physical activity. He has group work. So it's not like he's missing out.
Right. Would you say that it is a better route for someone with autism, or would you say it really depends on each individual child?
Well, for what I understand, overall, it's a better route because it can be, autism is truly a puzzle piece. So therefore, it's a better route because you can tailor each curriculum in each day to that specific child, whereas you know, traditional school is one blanket thing for all children. Everybody has the same schedule. Everybody has the same bell schedule. You're supposed to be at math from 11 to 12, and then lunch is from 12:30 to 1. You can't do that with any autistic child. Now, some autistic children need more supports than others, and that's where the individuality comes in. And that's what, you know, homeschooling gives you, whereas traditional schooling does not.
Okay, so we talked about Hunter, and we talked about homeschooling. Now I want to talk about you two. Let's talk about your view. How is it, and if you can be as honest with me as possible, and I want to hear from both of you guys, right, because mom and dad have totally different views, right, and totally different interactions, especially with a young African-American male with autism. I'm gonna start with you, B. What is it? What was your one of your most difficult challenges? If you can't tell me, just say you can't. Obviously, I want to protect your privacy. But go ahead.
I can tell. Mine was the pushback. Just being his mom from day one when it started to be apparent that there was something wrong.
Okay.
When you start the journey on trying to figure out exactly what's wrong and you start doing the medical evaluations, everything is geared towards what did mom do wrong. Even
Ooh.
Though husband and the doctors and everyone tells you, there's nothing that I could have done to prevent him from having autism. All the testing is like, what did you eat? What was your diet while you was pregnant? Were you under any stress? What was your diet before you got pregnant? What did you do? Everything is geared to what did mom do prior to
through that? Like when you found out he had autism, was there any comfort for you?
No, because it's all these that you have to go through for them to pinpoint exactly what mental diagnosis he should have, whether it's autism or ADHD or oppositional defiance disorder, which they told us he hit the jackpot because he has all three.
Oh, wow.
And there's nothing, those questions don't ask dad those questions. There's another half that is used to make a baby.
Right.
And it doesn't ask dad, how many cheeseburgers did you eat before you had to use your certain body parts to make a baby?
Right.
Or how many alcoholic beverages did you have, or how many caffeinated drinks did you have? They don't ask dad those questions. They only ask mom.
Wow. So you open up a window. I never knew that. I thought they asked both parents. Wow.
No,
you must have really felt kind of alone, even though you were there with your family through it. But like you said, wow. So after it was all said and done, you guys got the diagnosis and you decided, okay, fine, you're past the hump of the awe of it all, right? The shock and awe, okay, this is what we're dealing with now. What allowed you to step into your purpose as a mom of a child with autism?
The pushback we got from city schools.
Okay.
Because with all the destruction that he did in school, with all the children that he was hurting, because of the fact that he tested as a genius, they negated all the other things that he was doing and said that he did not deserve an IEP and he did not deserve a one-on-one because he tested as a genius.
Okay. And what did you all do when that happened? Because you all fought back, obviously.
All our appeals were denied.
Wow. Family, I hope you are listening. Keep talking, Dee, please.
I'm sorry. And it got to the point all through the pandemic and trying to switch over to virtual learning, that was a struggle. Because with his teacher at that time, when the pandemic came, trying to get him to focus, and she was not the best person to understand autism. She really thought autism was just a behavior issue and not a true medical diagnosis. And then once fifth grade came, someone approached him, a staff person, and he almost broke that person's nose because they came into his personal space once he warned them to stay away. while he was in one of his episodes. And their response to that, instead of giving him his one-on-one finally, their response to that was to place him in juvenile detention. And that's when we cut things off.
Oh, I'm so glad you guys, we found each other. I honestly can say, and I will attest to that, Hunter will let you know when you have stepped over boundaries for him. He gives warnings. He definitely gives warnings. Wow. B, I'm sorry you had to go through that. I really am. But that's why I can't thank you enough for sharing your story, because I know there are so many families out there who have been down this exact same route, where your child clearly struggles, but because they're not struggling educationally, they technically are not supposed to have an IEP, right? So, and you have to fight that a little bit. See, I'm going to talk to Anthony a little bit, Dad, because now this is a dad dealing with an African-American man with autism. Dad, what was your first response when you found out you had a baby with autism?
I'm the type of person that I need to know what the problem is.
Okay.
So when we first discovered that he was having issues, it was like, well, what is it? What can we do? So that was a lot of anxiety, just because we didn't know what it was.
Right.
But once we found out what it was, at least we had a starting point. But
mm-hmm.
even after that, it's definitely frustrating. It could be depressing.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't know. It's always a what if. I like to solve problems, but sometimes I just don't have the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter had a lot of issues as far as eating.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes we'll have to order things or drive far to get the things he would eat.
Right.
Sometimes medication, especially during the pandemic, it was very hard to get his medication.
Mm.
It's expensive.
mm-hmm.
So it's a lot of what ifs.
Right.
And I don't do well with what ifs. And if there's a solution to the problem, I can fix it. But with a child with autism, there's a lot of what ifs.
Right. And I think that's why I said the view, right? Our view, my view, our view, autistic view, because we look at it as a solution, but that's really not a way of looking at his situation. Am I right?
Correct.
Right. It's no such thing as a solution. It's just a world that you have to navigate differently. So
mm-hmm.
did you find a supportive system? Did you find any comfort? How did you get, because you guys, I just watched you. And I have to compliment you because you guys, Hunter is also a twin, just to give a little bit of background. So I watch you all manage, and you do such an awesome job. What was that aha moment where you guys finally felt like, I got control of this a little bit?
I know for me, I don't think we have control. We're managing it better.
Okay.
And that's with the support of our grandmothers.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a huge family.
Right.
So we really have to lean on ourselves and our grandmothers.
Right.
And then once we found the learning tree, they helped a lot. They gave us a lot of tools to progress.
And the learning tree is the ABA therapy. I know ABA is controversial for some people, and that's the old style of ABA therapy from like 10, 15 years ago when it was they was wrapping children up in blankets and doing some very weird things to children. That is not the type of ABA therapy that goes on now. They don't teach children to mask their autism. They truly teach them how to speak up for themselves and be their own advocate. And that's what Hunter is learning now. That's why when he's with you, he can speak up for himself.
Mm-hmm.
Even he's in class virtually with you. mm-hmm. and the other students maybe having a moment, he can speak up for himself and let you know that he's not feeling things right now, or he just needs to walk away, or he needs to play with his cat, Angelina.
Yes, and part of my... Yes.
So that's his safe space when he can play with Angelina.
I love it.
So,
I love it.
And you're part of that, too. What we've created, you are definitely part of that.
Wow. I feel like I am. I do. I really do. Hunter has become a part of my family as well, outside of the group. So when I get with Hunter, a lot of times, you know, I do a lot. I'm speaking to family out there who's listening. I do a lot of rewarding him with reminding him of what he did good. So I will say it over and over again, you know, Hunter, you did a really good job. Sometimes he gives me that look like, are you really serious? And that's when I get so warm inside, because I say to myself, you know, this child really is no different than any other child, right? It's just a matter of understanding, and I love to call it our love language. He and I have our own love language. That Hunter can look at me and I know exactly what he means and vice versa, right? But it's because I took the time to get to know who he was. And I think a lot of times in society, folks just won't take the time. Do you all agree that it's just a matter of being a little patient sometimes?
Yeah, and unfortunately in the school system, they weren't willing to do that.
No, they won't. And I think that's a problem with the social ills that we are dealing with in the city at the moment. A lot of these children have mental illness or other behavioral problems, and the school system is just not equipped to handle them.
It's
not the same. And with young black children, males or females, it's just not the supports that they need.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, you know, with finding you and with the jobs Anthony and I have, we have the resources to put together a support system for Hunter, whereas some other families do not.
And that is why we are actively raising funds, right? We're branching out and we're opening up our case management segment of our organization, because we realize, like you said, you guys are blessed and you're fortunate, right? Because you guys have a level of income where you can afford the supportive services that Hunter needs. But you're right, there are a lot of families out there that they just cannot. And a lot of times, unfortunately, this is where our black boys end up in juvenile justice, because there was no one that it could assist them in even communicating how they were feeling. So I want to ask you guys, what are the hopes for the future of autism in education and inclusion? What do you guys want to see happen?
Oh, that's a great question. What I would want to see happen is actually, not to go back to the traditional
schooling or ed system,
you know, the special ed class, mm-hmm. but to have different levels of classes in traditional school, where parents can have more choice. What they've done in traditional school is stripped parents of any type of choice.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what income level you have, Anthony and I have tried all types of ways where we were willing to pay Hunter into any school. Mm-hmm. And we have been stripped of any type of parental choice when it comes to our autistic child.
And it's only because Hunter's in a class all day with not another autistic child.
No, he's not. And the only thing we asked for was either a classroom with less students or for him to just have an accelerated school schedule where he doesn't go to lunch, because he doesn't like to eat around other people,
and he
did pick up an hour earlier, and they denied that.
Wow. Ooh, it's been a struggle. And I'm glad that you guys have finally gotten to the point that you're at now. And I can honestly say Hunter is a pleasure and a joy. I have deep love for Hunter. And it's not because he has autism. It's really not. It's because of his personality. Hunter has a very keen sense of humor. and he really, I have good conversations with him. So I'm speaking out there to family who's listening in. Understand that if your child has autism, you need to be like the Haskins. You need to keep fighting. I always tell you guys, please reach out to me. I can connect you with resources. I'm quite sure that if I was to ask the Haskins for some help with resources, they would have no problems in providing them for us. Do not. If you have a child with autism, please do not sit out there alone. Do you guys agree that that's the worst thing that you can do? Is to stay alone with that struggle?
Definitely.
What advice, considering non-traditional education for their autistic child?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that, please?
What advice would you give a parent considering non-traditional education for their autistic child?
For me, it's just to do it. If you find that your child could use a different type of schedule, a different way of learning, and you can put together the means to do it, then go ahead and just do it. You don't have to make it as costly as it seems. There's plenty of free resources and things out there. I do a lot of, there's a lot of Facebook groups that provide free resources. There's a lot of things you can just Google curriculum sometimes and just fill in the blanks. So there's a lot of things out there that are free that you can still teach your child. Someone in my Facebook group asked, because her son has autism, and with autistic kids, English or ELA is a struggle because open-ended questions is something that autistic children struggle with because it's not a clear answer.
Right. I love it. Wow. Bea and Anthony, I can't thank you all enough for sharing. I can't. What's one thing, if you guys can both leave us with a thought, what's one thing that you want the world to know about your experience that you would leave with us?
Stop dismissing autism as just a behavioral issue that can be solved. I think in our community, they treat it as it's a behavioral issue, so he just needs a good spanking. And that doesn't work. And unfortunately, the school system, they were not very helpful with our cause. So at least try. I know it can be daunting, but it took a good hour down at North Avenue to change it. We found you, and Hunter's doing a lot better.
Yeah, he is. He's awesome. And, Dad, I have to say, and I want to give a shout-out to you because, you know, the African-American world is not easy. And then you have two boys, right, one who has autism, two twin boys. And I want to give you a shout-out, and I want to say thank you. Thank you for being that dad. Like you said, you know, you're a solutionist, right? You find solutions. Thank you for having patience. That's not something that's easy, right, for a man to do with his son when he's not behaving correctly, because we all come from that old school, you know. Right? So I thank you for that. I do. And I tell you it all the time, and you probably think I'm crazy for saying it, but you're awesome, Dad. You really are. And you're a motivation to other dads. So really quick, before I let you go, and I let Bea leave her last thought, What would you say to another black male who had a teenage autistic boy or an autistic boy in your experience that you had with Hunter? What would you say is one thing he should do to deal with his emotions through the process?
You need to take some time for yourself. Half an hour here and there. Just find one thing you like to do and just take that time and breathe. And with Hunter, I can tell Hunter, I need a few minutes. Give me a minute and come back to me with whatever issue there may be. And he'll even come to me like, Dad, I know I asked you this a few times, but just, if you had time, can you let me know about this situation?
Right.
So you just conversation with your child and have an understanding.
Great. Thank you so much, Anthony. I can't thank you enough for all that you do. And even with camp, he helped us out last year, family, so much with camp and supplying snacks, right? His child wasn't eating not a one snack, but he made sure the entire camp had snacks. So thank you so much. Yes, I'm going to embarrass you on the air tonight because I'm going to say that you are just awesome. B, what are you going to leave with a mom?
Don't dismiss my child's autism just because you can't see it.
Mm.
I don't dismiss your child's asthma.
Mm.
Don't dismiss my child's autism.
I love it. I'm giving virtual hugs over here, guys. Thank you so much for sharing, for opening up. We have a lot coming up going forward. I won't be seeing Hunter at the pool tomorrow. I'm a little upset about that. But thank you all so much for sharing. Go ahead. What you say, Anthony?
Oh, no, you don't want his germ, so
we're going to
keep
going. Yeah, we will keep family germ.
No, I know, and I appreciate you guys doing that. I do. But I know he's been waiting to get back in the pool. But thank you so much for coming on this evening and sharing. As always, you guys are an inspiration. And please keep doing what you are doing. And I beg of you to really just reach out to some other families sometimes. I know you guys are introverts, but I know you would do it anyway because when you see people, you help. But, just keep in mind that your story tonight has probably helped a lot of folks who had no clue what they were experiencing and whether or not they could actually stand up for themselves. So thank you so much for calling in.
Oh, thanks for asking us to be a part of it. It's been great.
Great. Thank you. I'll be talking to you guys soon. Have a
all
good
right,
evening.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Family, autism. If you don't have a different view of autism now, then please give me a call and I'll help you get a better view. I just want the world and family, I want everyone to understand that when you look at individuals that don't function the way we do, that don't have the same comforts that we do, it does not mean that they have a special need. It means we have a need to be more inclusive and to be more understanding of exactly what their struggles are. So, family, thank you for listening to my autism view of my baby Hunter tonight. I've really built a real relationship with this young man, and he's doing bigger and better things. I'll keep you guys posted. There's some things coming up that I think he's going to be doing in the next year, and I can't wait to share them with you, and I will definitely. But at the end of the show tonight, I want to give a shout-out. The shout-out corner tonight is for a couple of things, right? So we talked about autism, but there's a young man out there. He's my age. I guess I can still call us young. D'Angelo Moody. This brother comes from D.C., and his story is one that is very, 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 very compelling. Unbroken to hell and back. Intransigentminds.com. Please check out this book, Unbroken to Hell and Back, by D'Angelo R. Moody. This is a story of coming from the school of hard knocks, fighting for everything you ever had and actually making it. So this is a story that you don't want to miss, family. Check it out, Unbroken to Hell and Back by D'Angelo R. Moody. And another shout out to, oh my gosh, my sunshine, Nicole Davis. Healing through experiences, she has now become an integrative nutrition health coach. She's a Reiki instructor, aromatherapy, holistic health. And I am so excited to be having her as a facilitator to a program I'm doing this summer. I want to talk about that a little bit. But family, if you are having some issues and a holistic pathway is one for you, check out Nicole Davis at Healing Through Experiences. And now she can add that nutrition health piece to that. And as she told me, nutrition is a whole lot more than the food you put in your body. And whoever joins us for Empowering You, guys, April 1st, I'm launching this virtual retreat for parents. As you can see, I have a love and a true connection to parents, me being one, yes, but the experiences that parents have. I'm a mom of eight. I run two businesses. I am a coach. I'm a mentor. I'm a teacher. I'm a director. But I know the struggle of parenting. I've come through divorces, and I've had some really, really hard times, right? But I never stopped. I never stopped. I kept going. So people have been asking me over the years, when are you going to help us parents out? When are you going to give us some of the tricks that you've learned? How did you make it through? So this is what Empowering You is. Starting April 1st, it is a launch. It's free on Eventbrite. You can find it. But Nicole Davis is going to be one of the facilitators on that. And she's going to come in and talk to you guys about that holistic piece of nutrition, right? The mind, body, and your soul, along with that food that you put in, the way you live, the things that you do. But she's one of the facilitators for this program. This is going to be, oh, my gosh, we're going to do a parent camp. So it's the 10th anniversary for Camp Achieve for Teachers Diverse Training Services for the children. And I decided on the 10th anniversary I wanted to celebrate parents. So I'm not doing a camp this summer for children. I'm doing a camp this summer for adults. If you are in Maryland, Pennsylvania, or New Jersey, join us for mindfulness hiking. We are going to work out some of this drama and these stresses on a hike. Why did I choose hiking? This is where I found myself. I found myself on the mountains in Maryland, and I'm going to show all of the parents how they can do the exact same thing and get through all of these struggles through hiking. We're doing some mindfulness swimming, right? So we're going to get in touch with the mind and body through water. Our swim instructors for peer-to-peer will be coming in and helping the parents do this. I have just gotten it confirmed. I don't have the dates yet, but we have an African yoga instructor. And once it gets confirmed, I'll give you her information. But she's going to be also doing this. So this will be happening throughout the summer while we have our virtual workshops. We're going to have some in-person workshops. We're going to be working out these stresses. The Haskins was the one, they were just on here with us, and they explained to us some of their struggles, right? And they will be getting this for free as my family, as my journey family. All of my journey families will be in this program for free. But we're going to work out some of these stresses because as parents, we have to be present for our children. And as you heard the struggles that the Haskins went through, it wasn't easy. You know, and Anthony even said, you know, take some time for yourself. And that's what Empowering You is about. It's about parents taking time for themselves to work out some of those mental things that you don't give yourself time to work out. And we just need to get through it. We have to get through it because as parents, we can be no good to our children if we're not being good to ourselves. We're going to learn what self-care really means, and it does not mean burning a candle and listening to jazz alone, right? There's a whole lot more to self-care than that. I'm excited. April 1st, we launch virtually for free. You're more than welcome to join us. Check out Eventbrite or on any of my pages on Facebook, Khadija Stewart, K Stewart Consulting, or even Teachers Diverse Training Services, advertising a little bit of it. I'm so excited to launch this. Family, thank you for joining me. I have to thank Khadija Seven, of course, of A Wonderful Approach for hosting Teachers Cafe Radio and giving us a voice. A voice to be able to talk to people about the non-traditional world that a lot of us live in that no one wants to accept. But we do. We live in non-traditional worlds, and it's okay for us to do things non-traditionally. As always, family, make sure you are taking care of yourself and those you love. It is Ramadan for all of my Muslims out there, my Muslim family. Stay steadfast. We have left the nights of mercy. We're going into the next 10 nights. Please stay steadfast on your fast. Remember, it is a spiritual journey. It is not just about not eating. And always, family, remember, develop it just as it happens. Have an awesome rest of March, family, and I will see you next month with another awesome guest. Take care. Peace and blessings, family.